You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of December. That was gross in Oklahoma City. Tired, fatigued, excuses, self-inflicted. We'll talk about it a little bit. The Spurs have broken the code, and we all should be watching what they're doing and trying to figure it out. I've got another MVP candidate, and it's a Facebook Live Thursday edition, so we're taking your questions. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Ba-dum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. Thank you for letting me do this a little bit later today. Let me say hi to the family and sleep a tiny bit. And I'm feeling good. Got a few espressos in me. We're ready to roll. Rather than some of the sleepy shows you've been hearing recently. Today's show, as Thursday shows often are, brought to you by Shamrock Auto Group. Rob Thomas and the crew out there do great work. Happy holidays to all of them. Rob's a loyal listener to this show while he's on his bike. And I wonder, like this time of year, I wonder what he does for that. So here's what Shamrock is. They specialize in nearly new cars. They specialize in trying to be helpful and nice. They try to specialize in not having putting pressure on you. So what they're going to do for a lot of people is they literally just go find the car the person wants. Most of their cars are 6 to 12 months old. They have, most of them have about 5 to 20,000 miles on them. They're Suburbans, Yukons, big SUVs. They have about 40 of those kind of things in stock. They have reliable sedans, Acuras. They give you out the door pricing in 5 minutes, test drive by yourself, buying experience in under an hour, full service, can do financing in house, extended warranties. And then what they really pride themselves on is go look at their Google reviews. You'll see, how awesome they all are, and that's kind of who they are. From Heidi Abbott wrote, from start to finish, our experience was positive. They worked hard to find us the exact car. We, for the fair price with low miles, beautiful new office, huge selection of large SUVs, many 8 passengers, which are hard to find. Come on, it's the Utah County Assault Vehicles, baby. Boom! Down there in Pleasant Grove, worth taking the trek. People come from all across the state to be a part of it as well. And people come from, frankly, outside the state. They got the return customer rate that Rob and the crew have at Shamrock is just fabulous. So you can give Rob a call. The phone number is 801-319-2250. That's 801-319-2250. Mention that Locked On Jazz podcast and you get friends and family pricing. That's 801-319-2250. That's actually just Rob's cell. All right, let's get to the show. What do you guys think? We usually do kind of the rundown of the numbers on the show, on the game last night. But I mean, that wasn't a contest. We got rolled early. I'd say I didn't think we fought particularly hard. I thought it was bad. Like, you know, it happens. But let's be honest about what that was. So I don't think there's a lot of numbers that are worth taking a look at. I'd rather try to digest why it happened. And why they were as bad and lifeless as they were last night. It's a little disconcerting on one level, and then it's not that disconcerting on another. So one is that we've kind of known that this schedule was going to be brutal, and I think we saw that. I think we saw the wear and tear of the schedule. We were 11 of 41 last night on uncontested shots. As you know, that number usually floats between 40 and 50%, not 27%. So that's a team that's either really, really tired, really disengaged, really not together. So, or just, yeah, just not there. Here's my take on it a little bit. If you're going to win last night against Oklahoma City, who's been home for now, slightly rested, and you've been on the road, and you've been playing really good teams, you're going to have to come out with incredible energy early. You're going to have to get it rolling, and the game's going to have to give you energy and momentum from your playing well. They did the opposite, obviously. Rubio had two turnovers on the first two plays on these one-handed loose plays. There was a play early where Joe Ingles comes down to set a down pick for Rodney Hood, and if they ran it like that in shoot-around, Quinn would stop shoot-around and tell them that there wasn't enough energy to it. I mean, they literally, Joe, now I find out later that Joe's sick, so you know, and, you know, I mean, I don't want to make excuses. I just think this is what happened. Okay. This is not blame. This is just facts. You know, you watch Joe come down. He didn't set the pick with any vigor. Rodney didn't cut off of it. Like, they're playing at a third speed, hoping the game's going to go their direction. You can't do that against Russell Westbrook and the Thunder. And so they got blasted. And then once you're down 9-0 and 17-2 and 25-9, and you're on the sixth straight road game, and then you don't have any fight. Like, that's just human nature. Like, if you're going to win last night, you're going to have to win because you got going early and you gained momentum as the night went on from your play. They sat back and kind of hoped it would happen. You got no chance. So that's not good. And it's evident. It was evident. Nobody was. Tabo was good last night, probably. The other one last night, you know, the keys to the game were match their physicality, which they didn't do. You got to rebound their misses, which early they didn't really do. They did an okay job by the end of the night. The numbers last night are kind of screwy. And so those were two of the primary things. The other one that I think is going on a little bit here, and we can walk through the nights and play this game, is if you look at the matchup each individual night. So let's take Ricky Rubio, Russell Westbrook, better athlete, Russell Westbrook, right? Physically, better athlete, Russell Westbrook. Andre Robertson, Rodney Hood, Andre Robertson, better athlete. Paul George, Joe Ingles, Paul George. Carmelo Anthony, Derek Favors. Or actually, last night, it's Paul George, Joe Johnson. I'm calling it a wash. Steven Adams, Derek Favors, Steven Adams. Okay, so at four of the five positions last night, the other team is physically superior to the Utah Jazz. Unfortunately, right now with our injuries, if you walk through a lot of these nights, I think that's the same case. If you go to Houston, Chris Paul, Ricky Rubio, I don't know if anyone's physically superior. I might have a hard time. It's Eric Gordon's star. I can't do them off the top of my head. That tells you literally how much game recall I have. It's like none. Clint Capella, Derek Favors, Clint Capella. Derek Favors didn't play. So Clint Capella, Epe Udo, Epe, Clint Capella. Trevor Ariza, Joe Ingles, Trevor Ariza. You just do this on a nightly basis. James Harden, Donovan Mitchell, I might say even or Donovan Mitchell, right? But then he had the toe injury. Joe Johnson, Ryan Anderson, I'm probably still going Ryan Anderson, which is, you know, or not much. But the point is that each and every night we're playing, just our guys are matching up on a guy, on somebody who's physically more imposing and physically dominant. That's a fatiguing item. And I do think because of that and the way we play, it's how we have to play to be able to take advantage. We end up maybe having more nights where we look dead because so many nights we're going up against somebody and the other guy is physically superior. I mean, I think the same thing probably in Cleveland. Jose Calderon, Ricky Rubio, awash. J.R. Smith, Donovan Mitchell. I'd probably say Donovan Mitchell is the superior athlete. Jay Crowder, Joe Ingles, Jay Crowder. LeBron James, Joe Johnson, LeBron James. Kevin Love, Epe Udo, Kevin Love. So each and every night, our guys are playing a system of basketball that are maximizing what they can get out of each guy. That's advantage basketball. But they're doing it physically probably less naturally gifted than the guy that they're guarding. And it's guarding them. And I think it means that it increases our chances of being worn out a little bit. Okay? That's no scientific knowledge there. I probably could look up, like, are we really worse on back-to-backs? We've obviously been bad on the road, though. I feel like we've played really good teams on the road. So who knows? There's a great article, by the way, today in Nylon Calculus about when statistics are relevant. So when does the statistical – they do this a lot, and I think it's terrific. They did the best study I've read, which was they did a study back on three-point shooting of when you actually know if someone's a real three-point shooter. And the answer was it was 753s. That the first 753s someone writes, or someone shoots, sorry, that they wrote, so that someone shoots is probably the best indicator of their next 750. That's the number where you kind of begin to have an idea of when somebody is stats are real. They did the same thing on team stats, and I thought this was terrific. How long into a season can you trust stats? This is really fascinating. I wasn't really doing it. So pace of play and three-point rate is 4 games in. Winning percentage is 8 games in.
Here are a few tips to bring your
We got a little video playing because I went to this site.
Wonder, like a delicious squash soup.
Somebody got free advertising right there. I don't know if you actually can hear it. I know if you're on Facebook Live, you cannot. Offensive rebounding is 11 games in. This is just concept. Opponent's effective field goal percentage is 14 games in. The last one is opponent's three-point percentage. And your three-point percentage, 26 games and 33 games. So we're kind of getting there. My point on that, and the reason I went there, is our road numbers are bad, but then our road sample size is still pretty low on our road numbers just because it's half your games. So I'm not sure that I'm totally willing to go there. It's the same thing when we get to these back-to-backs. Like, I can go run our back-to-back numbers. That wasn't a back-to-back game last night. And so that one game is going to skew the other numbers so badly. We actually shoot better and offensively are better. We're better both offensively and defensively on no day's rest than we are in one day's rest. Right, but our Rockets game was on one day's rest in that game, so it skews it. This is kind of my point. There's only 7 games of no day's rest in 14 games. The thing that has me concerned, if we're going to get to concern, is how bad our defense is right now and has been for a while. So some of these teams are really good, right? So they're really good. The Houston Rockets, back 7 games ago, put up an offensive rating of 111.4 against us. Best defensive teams in the league are about 100. Average is about 106. Elite is 110. That's kind of a way to look at it. So Rockets went 111 on us. Bucks went 122.6. We had a good game against the Bulls, good game against the Celtics. Cleveland went 120. Rockets went 132. Thunder went 116 against us. We have put out in our last 7 games of our 30 games we've played this year, we've put out 5 of our worst defensive outings of the year. We've put out our 21st, our 30th, our 29th, our 32nd, and our 25th worst outings of the year. That to me, now is that, quality of opponents, fatigue, what's the answer there? I don't entirely know. Gobert being out is a part of it. And as I have talked about forever with this, the key to this entire team for the last 3 years has been, can they defend when Rudy Gobert is off the floor? If you're going to be an elite-level defensive team, you need to be an elite-level defensive team for 48 minutes a game. And, you know, Derek hasn't played a lot recently, so it's hard to tell. But when Rudy is on the floor, and both Epe and Derek are off the floor, our defensive rating is one number, and when it goes is about 100.3, and that's what we need to be. That's who we are. Like when you have Rudy Gobert. Now the question is, we were great defensively in the 71 minutes in which we played Favors and Udo together earlier this year. We've gone away from it because of injuries. But when Gobert's on the floor and Udo and Favors are off the floor, our defense is fine. Okay? When Favors is on the floor without Gobert or Udo, our defense is a 108.7 this year. That would rank us as one of the worst defenses in the NBA. That's a real problem. And then if you flip it and just put Udo out there without Derek, you have that Boston game where we're really good. And so Udo, it's we're actually okay. We're at 101.3 when Udo's out there by himself. So frankly, when Derek's at center right now, we can't defend a lick. And even to elaborate on it, I don't know what the window is here. I'm zeroing in on because Derek's missed some games and Derek didn't look quite right last night. And this is hard because we change our defensive system a little bit to what's going on. But if you just take, so if we just take the last 10 games that Favors has played when Gobert and Udo are out, our defensive rating is a 115. By far and away, we'd be the worst team in the NBA. We're minus 10 in those circumstances per 100 possessions. That's my concern. All right, today's show is brought to you in part by the Advocates. Matt and the crew over at the Advocates have done a nice job with personal injury attorney, particularly on car accidents. The basic truth on this is that less than 1% go to trial and only 3% go to arbitration. So if you just consider that, while every accident is different and every person experience is different, 97% of these things are getting solved before they go to arbitration and before they go to trial, which means the process that's going to take place in these cases is the same. That's what Matt and the Advocates have done. They've built a 106-step process over the last 25 years on how to make sure that they can help you out the best they possibly can. You'll get a call from a lawyer in 60 seconds. That lawyer is now on your case, puts you into the system. The system starts with the 106 steps. It sounds almost as though it's impersonal. And the process allows for efficiency and leads to productivity and means actually that you get more communication because rather than being burdened with outside things, your attorney, the people you're working with, are able to communicate with you, give you the personal touch you need while the process is being expedited by having their special teams experts working on the individual parts of those 105 steps. That's what the Advocates have done. They have figured out the system and how to get you the best results. A little bit like an airplane checklist as you're going on a holiday trip, but it makes some sense, right? Every trip is different of where you're going. You might be packing different things, but at the same time, you're going through the same process. 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. All right, before we get to your calls, last night I have a – this is – probably more about me than you need to know. So when I get home on a back end of a back-to-back, I have to get some work done. I can't go to bed. I can't sleep at night if I don't have a basic level of work done for the next night's game. So I did the Spurs last night. Very basic level, not like detail. I mean, you know, an hour or something like that. Maybe even a little less. They're incredible. They've broken the cheat code. So their defense of rating for the year is a 101. They're the third best defense in the NBA. They're the third best defense in the NBA. Kawhi Leonard has played three games. Do you think of their leading minutes players? Tell me who you think, when I mention these guys, you think of as a defensive player here. Okay? LaMarcus Aldridge has played their most minutes. Patty Mills has played their second most. Danny Green has played their third. Okay, I'll go. He's a good defensive player. Pau Gasol has played their next. Rudy Gay has played their next. Kyle Anderson's nickname is Slow-Mo. Bryn Forbes, after that, DeJounte Murray might be so young. Manu's like 80. Those are their leading minutes guys, and they're the best defensive team, like third best defensive team in the league. How have they done this? What? So somebody's got to go really watch what they do defensively and figure out their cheat code. Because the first thing they don't do is they don't foul at all. They really coach not fouling. We used to do this, and we're really good at it. And I think there's a large belief that if we didn't foul, it helped. We kept talking about this last year, that if you don't foul, it helps the way you play on the road. We're now 21st in not fouling. So we've gone from a non-foul team to a foul team. They foul the least of anyone in the NBA on the road. Their defensive rebounding is top 10. They don't force turnovers. They're 18th in the league, so it's not like some aggressive defense. I mean, I'm trying to figure this out right now with you, frankly. They're 8th in the league defending the shot. All right, so all I've got right now is that they don't foul. They don't force turnovers, so they stay in a shell defense and play in between you and the basket, and they don't foul. In turn, that puts them into good rebounding position, so you don't get a lot of second chances. That's the first hypothesis I have on what the Spurs... This might be my new mission to try to figure out what the Spurs have done defensively. Now let's go look at what I think is the most important defensive aspect, probably other than not fouling. And that is where you force the other team to shoot from. Like, I think that's an incredibly important thing to look at. So the Spurs defensively, because they play in the shell, what we expect to see is that they're forcing teams to take a lot of mid-range shots. They're denying threes, and I would guess they're pretty good defending the restricted area. So let me run the numbers on that and see what we can get. Sorry, I just got a breaking news thing right there that I thought. All right, so here, and I think we're going to find out a little bit. Let's go with smart shots first. So they rank as the sixth. The Spurs rank. This doesn't even match. They're the 17th best team in the league at denying you shots at the rim. Average. They're the 8th best team at denying you a three. Nothing exceptional here. This is really surprising. 13th best at denying the corner three. And overall, they rank 12th in smart defense. 64% of opponent shots are either restricted area threes. So nothing exemplary there. How about now? They're the third best team in the league at defending the rim. Only Portland and New York are better. They're the fifth best team defending the above the break three. We're bad at that. 22nd in the league at that. We're 15th at the rim now. The stunning difference between Gobert and Favors around the rim is eye-opening, or just anyone. So what do the Spurs do that's so great defensively? They stay in a shell defense. They don't force turnovers. They don't foul. They force you. They just defend the rim well, so those shots are lower percentage, and they don't let you take above the break threes. Well, no, they don't let you make above the break threes. But it's nothing exceptional. It's really kind of blows my mind, actually. All right, let's get to your questions. I do want to remind you of a sponsor we have of the show who've been good to us, and people are having great success with. If you're looking for that last-minute holiday package, Grip 6 Belts. And they've got their own. We don't use Lock 20 or use Holiday 25. That'll get Holiday 25 will get you 25% off any of the Grip 6 belts. They're really stunningly cool. It's actually what I got for the Scout and people with the Locked On Podcast Network for their Christmas gifts as well is the Grip 6 belt. Customizable belts and buckles. There's two things that separate them. There's no holes and no belt flap. So the belt has an extremely flat and low profile. It comes through and it loops in underneath. And it holds. Doesn't slip at all. The second thing that's really cool is that you can separate your buckles and your belts. So you have the strap, which you can get in brown or black or whatever you want. And then you can get multiple buckles and they just interchange between the two. It's a revolutionary belt concept. It's super, super cool. Go to grip6.com. Check it out. And it's what my dad got. I got my dad for, I'm using it for Christmas. My dad got it. For Christmas, it's what I'm getting the Locked On Podcast Network guests and people like that that come on that I need to give thank yous to. So I hope you can do the same. Use the promo code HOLIDAY25 on your way up. All right, let's go to questions. Matt wants to know if I can introduce him to Joe Ingles. At some point, we'll get that done. Michael Van Orden wants to know, how will Dante fit in all of this when he returns? Well, first, I don't know if he's returning. Right, so that's the first question that we have here is whether or not he's actually returning this year. I know he's trying to, but he's got to be right. So I'm not sure I have an answer on that. Secondly, I mean, it would have been nice to have him last night. We had one point guard. And so, you know, it means that Alec or somebody's going to lose minutes. Probably Alec, right? We're going to see. What I think we really want to see is how the Donovan-Dante combo works, and I don't know if we're going to get a chance to see that. It's been fun to watch Alec play. He's been so much better this year, just with everything he's doing and how he's playing and his approach. And he's been a little different. Home and road have been a little stark. 52% at home and 35% on the road. 51% at home and 26%. That baby's keeping him happy at home. Is it too much to ask Favors and Rudy to dunk 4 or 5 dunks each per game, even if it's off offensive rebounds? And couldn't Rubio score 15 a night off layups getting into the lane? Yeah, that's a whole hell of a lot to ask. That's a whole hell of a lot to ask. I don't think anyone in the league's getting 4 or 5 dunks a game. And I don't think you can get 15 points on layups. So, yeah, that's way too much to ask. Michael Van Orden, how do I feel about Bill Simmons? Sorry, I'm only pausing because the question seems strange. I guess I'm trying to figure out what you're asking, and so I'll just answer it straight. I think that there's no question that I've been able to do things in my career and develop in my career because of the things Bill Simmons did. We're the same age. He broke down a bunch of barriers, changed kind of what media is. I think I followed in it. He came from a blogger. I came more traditionally. I appreciate the Ringer copying the podcast network concept and changing their names on how they refer to all their podcasts now as the Ringer Podcast Network, following in our footsteps. I appreciate that. Actually, I really do, because I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek. But actually, if they can get they're bigger than we are, so if they can get that model out there, I think, you know, if Bill's show's got enough listeners, I think it's bigger than ours, but our collection, maybe not as much as numbers as people think, but probably significantly. And so if they can get that network, you know, Locked On Podcast Network is trying to really change the model of how their podcasts are sold right now, and how advertisers treat podcasts in a manner that's very different than what's been done before, and it's hard. And if the Ringer can lead the way on that, that would be great. Because they've changed, you know, recently changed the way they refer to all their stuff as the Ringer Podcast Network. I mean, I think he's been great. I think he's had a hard time with the amount of ventures he's had to being as good a basketball guy, because he's got so many other things going on, and I try to keep an eye on that. Like, that's probably my cautionary tale I've learned from him. But he's great. I really think. You kind of caught me off guard. I hadn't thought about it, or I hadn't expected the question. But I would say that my career has been completely improved and changed and developed because of what he did simultaneously on a parallel track to mine, because we're the same age. He's then allowed me to do things. He busted podcasting open for sports with his Bill Simmons show and now the BS Report. And I think it's all entertainment based. Play by play wise, I'd say he's had little impact on me. I've had bigger influences there, but just as an entertainer or a podcaster and a business person, I'd say his ventures are there. Does that make sense? I don't know. Interesting question. Is Mirotić for Favors a reasonable trade? I heard that Mirotić has a no trade clause. I don't know if that's true. If that's true, that might help us out, because he might want to come play for us. I don't know whether a team like Chicago. So Favors is appealing for one of two reasons. One is you want his bird rights because you think he's a future piece to the puzzle. So that would be, if Chicago wants his bird rights, they have Robin Lopez, but they would have to decide they want Favors' bird rights because they want him for the future. Otherwise, they have no reason why they would want Favors, so they're not trying to make the playoffs. Then the other value for if someone wants Favors is if they believe he's going to push them over the top and help them win a playoff series. What are Ricky Rubio's stats? Manvun versus free flowing doesn't seem to play as well with the bun. I think that's true, but I have not charted it. Last night I don't think he's been manbun for a while, has he? I've been wondering why Ricky Rubio shoots jump shots and is really accurate, but he set shot on his threes. Has he thought about shooting a jump shot on his threes? His trajectory of his shot is so flat and he doesn't use his hips, so he doesn't get up into a shot. And on the three, you can just see it's all arm and straight. And on the mid-range jumpers, because the distance is different, that straight shot goes in more. His mid-range jumper is good. I mean, he's playing inside of himself right on his career numbers. That's funny. Courtney Rowe Detlinger is watching. Courtney Rowe and I are like, it's one of my dearest friends in life. She and I went to summer camp together as kids and used to sit on this rock and talk about the scary life that was ahead of us when we were 16, 17, 18-year-old kids. Her son's now like a rock star crew member who's like going to represent the United States in the Olympics at some point, and she's just a rock star in general. Why did the Spurs do that when we can learn a few years ago when they won a championship starting two bigs that you couldn't spread the floor on a point guard that couldn't shoot threes? That's a great – what did the Spurs do? I mean, they're playing two bigs, right? They're playing Aldridge and Gasol, both good passers. The Spurs are an anomaly that we all should study immensely. I don't have the answer. I'm going to go watch them tonight, today, watch their Portland game, see what they did, and try to really watch it. I actually last year believed that they had done a study where they knew where passes were going before they went there. I thought they had used StatsView to chart if a ball's on the right wing, where it's most likely to go next. That was my theory, and that they had moved their defenses accordingly. Should Dante start when he comes back? I don't think so. I mean, Dante hasn't been very good yet. Like, I think he's going to be in a great summer, and there's a lot of high hopes. But let's be just honest about it. He hasn't been very good yet. What is the morale at for our guys right now? Any idea how serious Donovan's injury is? I don't think this is another George Hill situation. I think George had some biological genetic issues with his toes that made his toes particularly bad. Donovan is that he got hit on a specific play. Is George Hill's return an option in a possible trade? So that would be that Sacramento wants out from under his contract, which they wish they didn't sign him to. One of the reasons we didn't go after George Hill in the offseason is I think we knew about some of his injury situation, right? So I don't know if that's different. We may have dodged a bullet on Danilo Gallinari, by the way. He's out again. George Hill's paid $19 million, $20 million this year, $19 million next year, and $18 million the year after that. I can't imagine that's a tradable contract. I can't imagine anyone in the NBA is willing to take that. I mean, that's a lot of money for a guy who's having a hard time with health right now. He's playing pretty well when he plays. He's having a lot of what I would call zero nights, though. And he played a stretch there where he played pretty well. But if you kind of go look at his game log, there's a lot of 19-minute, two-point nights in there where he's playing, but he's not really 22 minutes, zero. So he played five games, missed one, played two, missed one, played a long stretch. But in that long stretch, you know, he actually had about a five-game stretch of being good. Then he played 22 minutes, didn't score. Then they got a bunch of days off, and he played well. And then he had a 19 minutes and didn't score on a back end of a back-to-back. Since he's injured that toe, his back-to-back's not been good. Now, his last four, he's been great again. But he also I think he missed a game due to illness recently. Maybe that was back against Toronto. But he was really good against Brooklyn and helped him win, I think, last night. And then he was really good against Toronto and Minnesota. So I think his body is just failing him, and it's hard to pay $19 million. Andy asked a great question. Is Rubio having a problem with our style of play? So many turnovers. Seems though he's having an issue finding his role offense. Here's a question I have on Ricky that I just don't know the answer. Has he just played so many games on losing teams that he doesn't value the individual possession the way he needs to? That's the question that I have. That when I watch him on the first two possessions of the game last night, two hands past the ball. Don't turn it, like, you can't turn the ball over on the first two possessions of the game like that. And his turnover numbers are up a little, but not a lot. I mean, his numbers are really, all other than his assist numbers, which is our system. His steal numbers, which are always great, are right there. His free throw numbers, which are always great, are right there. His effective field goal percentage is high, is a career high right now. His two-point percentage is a career high right now. His three-point percentage is 2 points off of his career average and 1 point off of last year. I mean, I think this might be exactly who he is, and he just has not played in a circumstance where he's expected to win before. I mean, that's maybe not. Maybe that's not fair, but if you go look at those Minnesota teams that he played on, one, he had a different coach every year. Some of them were terrible, but they won 26 and 40 in the lockout season his first year. They went 31-51 his next year. Then they went 40-42 in the next year. Then they went 16-66. I mean, you can't help but get terrible habits. Then they went 29-53 and had Sam Mitchell as their head coach. And then they won 31 games last year with Tom Thibodeau. I mean, I don't know when he's been coached by a good coach. So, I don't know the answer. All right, we got to wrap this up here in a second. I don't know Donovan Mitchell's return. Play GM for a second. What would I do at the trade deadline to help out this team? I honestly probably would make every move at the trade deadline about the future. So, I would shop a huge amount of our pieces for future pieces down the road. Sometimes second-round picks, sometimes first-round picks, sometimes maybe there's a player I think we can develop. I would do very little to help the team this year if I was the GM. I think this is a pivot year out of the Gordon re-sign. We're doing a good job with it. We're finding Donovan and Rudy. We got these two pieces. Now, what are the other pieces that mix, and what assets can we acquire to help us in the future? That's the soon. Clayton says, got my son a Grip 6 belt hanger, 3 belts for Christmas. I made sure to let them know I came from Locked On Jazz. Thank you, Clayton. I love Joe Johnson's game. Hope to see him get back. The Joe Johnson is in a minute number in his career that is a little disconcerting to his inability to find a rhythm. I wouldn't get worried yet. I'd be disconcerted, but at 43,000 minutes is an awful lot in an NBA career. I do not think he's become a 2-for-26 three-point shooter yet, but I would assume he would come back closer to the 41 he had a year ago. I don't think it can just fall off the cliff like that, and the injuries certainly have hurt, but there's a chance that at some point it ends, right? For everyone, it ends. Boom, gone. And we're inching closer to that than we'd like to believe. Can the weight of the team on Donovan's shoulders be a good sign, since he might feel that he's much needed piece of the team and stay long term? I am not going to worry about whether Donovan's staying long term 30 games into his NBA career. We have 7 years of him guaranteed. Is it more advantageous for the franchise to make the playoffs for years and years, or only make the playoffs 2 out of 6 with a chance to make the conference finals as a 4 seed? Deep philosophical question. I don't know the answer to that. I think your goal every year, if you're trying to win, is to be in the top 4 in the conference. That's where we were last year. It's where we would have been if Gordon had re-signed. I think that's where you're, and then you hope something breaks your direction. If you can be top 4 in the conference. Are we potentially dunking the proverbial Donovan Oreo too long? I think he's a pretty, pretty special kid, so I'm less concerned about it than Trey Burke, who did not have the mental capability to handle being dipped as an Oreo like that. So I'm less concerned, but we probably, it's frankly why Quinn tries to limit some of his point guard minutes to right circumstances, things of that nature. And he cares a great deal, so you have to be a little careful. How do we explain? Interesting pack question of the team being so bad offensively with Rudy. We'll do it tomorrow on pack. Do you think Joe retires after this year? If not, do we re-sign him, and how much? I don't know. They love Joe. He's a great dude. 36. I don't know if he retires. I'd never thought for 1 second he would retire until you just asked that question. So my answer is no. I don't think he retires. I never for 1 second thought he would retire. All right, awesome. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Thanks very much. Pack Friday tomorrow. Spurs late tonight. Probably be a later show tomorrow again. I mean, I'm not going to be home till 1 o'clock or so. So it'll be a later show tomorrow. Thanks. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you. Hope everybody tuned into the radio broadcast last night. Had fun with us in the second half. This is all about enjoyment, right? So have a great one. Talk to you soon.